Hi, I'm Roy Crown from Revelation Trust, and welcome to Gospel Entrepreneurs. Throughout this podcast, I speak to entrepreneurial leaders in the church, community, and business who are finding new ways to expand the kingdom. Today, I'm joined by Paul Swarey, who is a church planter and creative. You'll get that from his conversation, based in Edinburgh. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Paul, where do you originate from? What, give us a little bit of Paul's history. Really tight background.
Really tight, okay. Like whistle stop to it is from the Lake District, so northwest Cumbria, a small town called Whitehaven. I lived there for 21 years, then went to New York, Cheltenham, Carlisle, London, New Zealand, now Edinburgh. There you go.
Obviously, to get out of the Lake District, you needed to go.
You've got to go as far as New York.
I'm interested. Why New York is the first place? What was that, Paul?
So I did an internship with something called Metro Ministries, which was actually the largest Sunday school in the world. So they sort of ministered to 20,000 children every week, 60,000 over Christmas. And I'd been working as a Christian schools worker, working in secondary schools and primary schools. And that was kind of coming to an end because it was a sort of 2-3 year thing. So I explored that and moved out. But I moved out wrong on the 1st of September, 2001. So I was there for 10 days, and then I literally watched the Twin Towers fall from our roof.
Oh wow!
So it was a bit of a shock moving from this small town in Cumbria straight to New York, and then 10 days in, the whole world changed. You know?
Wow, that's quite a memory that you've got there, then, Paul.
Yeah, really surreal.
And obviously, you were a young man. That was quite a big step. Have you always kind of taken those kind of risks, Paul? Is that kind of the entrepreneur in you to go and find something and learn from it?
I think so, yeah. I once heard Jay John say, you know, blessed is the turtle because he sticks his neck out. And I like that, you know, and I think I've always tried to just think outside of the box, think about, you know, somebody once said, never let where you're from dictate where you go to. And, you know, my place where I'm from, it's a lovely place. You know, everybody knows everybody, but some people, you know, they never venture beyond that. And a lot of the jobs are kind of held by a big nuclear power plant called Sellafield, which most people kind of work at. But I think, you know, my mum once said to me, I never want to hold you back. I never want you to stay here because of me. You know, you just explore, you live your life, follow dreams. And, you know, I'm behind you. And I think that gave me permission just to say, well, let's go for it. Let's see what else is out there and venture out.
And then did you go to Vicar Factory? You went and trained as a vicar, didn't you?
I did, yeah, in London. So I trained as a children's minister in New York, and a film crew were making a documentary about the organisation. And that film crew were from a church in London. So they went back and reported that I was out there and pretty much brought a job description out for me back to New York when he came back to visit. And I got in touch with the church that was there and began children's ministry there. But that was a sort of church planting church. And it was a church that trained young men in ministry. And there's quite a few friends of mine that were doing that and exploring it. So I sort of followed suit, really. And started ordination training.
In the Church of England. And so then you based at a church in, was it King's Cross?
So yeah, we were actually in Marylebone in London, but we planted a church out of that into King's Cross. And part of my vicar training was to be an ordinand and to sort of train and then to be a curate. And then you do a year as a priest as well. And we planted a church with some dear friends into King's Cross called KXE, which is King's Cross Church. And it was a sort of fresh expression. It was the first BMO, which is a Bishop's Mission Order. We were planted into somebody else's parish, which obviously you've got to work well with relationships there. And it was a new thing. I mean, the week we planted the church, we didn't even have a venue. we put on social media. We're going to start it on Valentine's Day, which was the 14th of Feb on a Sunday. Venue to be confirmed. And I was like looking at nightclubs and function rooms in hotels and all kinds of places just to house the beginning of this church the first Sunday. And it came in right at the last minute. So, yeah, and all is well.
And I'm glad you reminded the date of Valentine's Day. I think, you
Thank
know,
you.
Obviously...
People, that was for you, Roy.
Yeah, that was really important. Thank you for...
I saw you write that on your hand, Roy.
I'm such a romantic, those dates. Anyway, so then quickly moving on, you moved from there to New Zealand. You know, this kind of, I've got to go and see the world thing. You're very entrepreneurial. We kind of step out the turtle thing again. You put your head up, I'm going to go to New Zealand. What's that about?
It's true. I know. It's probably, you know, the furthest place that we could have gone. I think the beauty of church is that, you know, we're all connected because of this, you know, believing in Jesus and centering our lives around Jesus and being part of a church that church plants. So this was actually the minister of the church in London, not King's Cross, the one that we planted out of Marylebone in London. This elderly lady came to him and said, look, I believe you're going to be a church planting church. And the vicar was like, no, I've not heard that. That's not what we're going to do. You know, we don't church plant. We're kind of doing what we do here in central London. And she said, OK, I'll leave it with you. But I think you are going to be a church planting church. Anyway, a couple of years later, the first church that they planted was New Zealand in Auckland. And it became the largest Anglican church in Australasia. And they planted that in New Zealand. They did Brazil. They did Charlotte. They did Florida. They did one in Germany, one in LA, and King's Cross Church. KXC came out of that as well. So it was a sister church, really, to KXC. It was friends that we knew that were leading it. We had three kids that were born and sort of beginning of their schooling in London. So it was no small thing to move, you know, three kids all under, how would we've been under six, maybe? Over to New Zealand to help with this church out there in Auckland, yeah.
So this journey you've walked on, and then, I mean, I've just come back from New Zealand. Why would anybody leave New Zealand? I mean, it's a beautiful country. You grew a church from nothing to one of the largest as part of the team, and then you left New Zealand, Paul.
I know. Yeah. Well, to be fair, we had
to come to Scotland.
A slight difference in climate. We had a religious work visa that expired, and we loved it so much that we actually extended our time in New Zealand. But the reality was, you know, we had our fourth child out in New Zealand, and we were aware that she was growing up, not knowing her aunties, her uncles, her cousins. You know, grandparents, my mum could never sort of make the journey out to New Zealand. And it was quite a life choice and decision. And we were praying and we were just sensing this call back to the UK. And I guess wrestling with it, grappling with it, weighing it up, pushing doors. And it became clear that actually the next chapter, the next phase for us was to come back to the UK. And in particularly Edinburgh. So here we are.
And you came back to a Church of Scotland church in Edinburgh.
It wasn't, Roy, actually. It was a Scottish Episcopal church. So
okay.
It's sort of part of the Anglican Communion. We have a bishop, the Bishop of Edinburgh. But yeah, it's sort of almost like a cousin, I would say, to Church of England, the Anglican Church. Yeah.
And you've always had this creative element to wherever you've gone in... I mean, I always say that the entrepreneur sees things that others don't see and has a kind of creativity. You've always had that wherever you've been, haven't you?
I think so, Roy. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm still learning, you know, who I am and what that looks like for life and ministry. I think it was Pete Gregg that said recently, he said, you know, God's still creating us in some ways. We're still being molded and formed and shaped. And we're still discovering actually the shape that God's made us. I'm a creative dyslexic in an Anglican liturgical setting, which is a funny mixture. But I was only diagnosed with dyslexia at Bible College, at Vicar Factory, because everyone was writing essays, and I was like, how are they writing them so fast? How are they reading these books so fast? And I got tested, but that's made sense of a lot of how I've approached stuff. I've been kind of just looking at a book that I've bought recently, and what I do is it's quite a boring cover, and there's not many pictures in the book, since it's quite a thick book. I went over to my wife's art studio and I said, "Will you just flick some paint on it? Just flick some colors of paint on it." She says, "Flick paint on it," and we made it really colorful. So when I approach the book, I'm looking at it as like, "That's fun, that's colorful, that's creative," and then inside, I then doodle on it and I draw and I circle stuff. And I think, I've always brought a bit of creativity to what I do, and a bit of color, I hope, to anything that I tackle.
And do you think that is part of the entrepreneur in you, that you kind of have this creative element that you've done church? I mean, I remember you saying at one point when God spoke to you, like, I just can't do it this way anymore. It's got to be slightly different. That's not negative. It's just like, I need something different to energize me. Is that kind of the entrepreneurial spirit in you, do you think?
I think it is raw, yeah. I think it's that thing of just pushing boundaries, reinventing, tweaking, pivoting, changing things, even, approaching a project or a subject. I'm like, well, what hasn't been done? And if it's a no, it's like, well, why is it a no? And what about if we do this? And it's almost like not taking no for an answer and just trying every single which way to kind of move it forward. And not being afraid to fail as well, trying new things and connecting with people, networking, pushing the boundaries, pioneering stuff. I was ordained as a parish priest, or that's the track that I was on. But I went back to them and said, "Can you please change me as an ordained pioneer minister? Because I always want to keep on innovating and changing things and dabbling with things and trying things. I want that freedom and that permission to say, well, you might do something pioneering that's not been done before." And I think that is the entrepreneurial spirit within me and the gifting within me to do that.
'Cause you stepped out of the church in Scotland and you're now, I mean, took a massive risk. You had a home, you had a vicar's salary, it was all in place. And you did a crazy thing with four kids and just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's not energizing me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, Roy. I think, it is a would it be a calculated risk? I think, I don't know. I got all the sort of information as much as I could, but it was still a big risk. We left something that was really set up, comfortable, a package, with everything there for you in place. And it was like, we're going to help these guys from Atlanta in America plant a church in Edinburgh. They're not from Edinburgh. They don't really know people in Edinburgh. They've never church planted before in Edinburgh. They're having to sell everything and move here. And that feels like, yeah, sounds great. For some people, that would be like, no way. But it's somebody once said, the word faith is a fantastic adventure in trusting him. Fantastic. That's how you spell faith. And I think that's been the case. When you get a glimpse, you don't have to have everything in place. You don't have to have all the boxes ticked, but you just have this flicker of excitement and tenacity or entrepreneurial spirit of like, let's try this. Let's really go for it. So we did, we've relocated. We moved out of the vicarage. We had to rent. We had to find somewhere. And we've only done two services so far. We've been going for a year. We've got these guys moved over, rehoused. We've got set up as a charity. We found a venue. We've got a team. We're recruiting more team. We're doing outreaches. We're handing out coffees and pizzas and having amazing conversations about church and faith. And it's just brilliant. I just absolutely love it. And yeah, I like starting new things. I like them early days. And I think it reminds me of planting KXC with some friends 12 years ago, where you don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know where the venue is going to be. You don't know if anyone's going to come. You've got this idea and this passion and this energy and excitement, and you've got some people around you who share the same idea, and you just move forward. You just go with it. And it reminds me of that. So I am re-energized, Roy, and
I think
excited.
I think to do that when you're single is very different than doing that with four kids and a wife. You must have a very understanding wife who's like, yeah, we're going to do it, because the security and family and all of that structure. But you're in it together, because she's an entrepreneur as well, isn't she? So you've got a kind of similar spirit there.
Yeah, we do. And I think, you know, the beauty of marriage is that Katie, my wife, knows me more than I know myself. So she can see when I'm beginning to fade, or it's becoming dull, or I'm becoming, you know, I need to create again and start again and pioneer again. So I think she's been with me on that journey of like, this is the right step for us all. And the kids pick up on it as well. And they're brought into this new adventure. But my wife, yeah, so she's an artist. She studied in London at Central St. Martin's, which is an incredible university in there. And she started a full-time business when all the kids were at school. So she got her time back. She's painting, doing abstract art of Scottish landscapes. And I think for her, you know, what's been entrepreneurial and what's been really life-giving is that she's always wanted to be able to give to organizations and charities that are doing great things. So one of the things that she loved was charity water. I think a guy called Scott Harrison, who gives fresh water to people who don't have water. And she's like, that's absolutely brilliant. I'd love to give to that, but starting a business and not covering your costs in the early stages. It's like, well, how can I do that? So she used her own paint palette, which was on a piece of wood, her paint palette. And then she worked into it and painted on top of it. And then she took it to a local place and said, look, I want to donate this as a piece of art for charity. Would you consider building a frame for it? Would you frame it and donate that? So this guy built a frame around it and put it all together. And then she actually sold her paint palette as a piece of artwork. And 100% of that profit went to Charity Water. And then we told them, and they loved that, you know. And she's done it again for IJM, International Justice Mission. She sold a painting in auction because she realized that for £500, IJM can equip and mobilize a whole police unit in Mumbai to take down gangs who are doing human trafficking and trafficking people. So she said, well, I'm going to donate a painting that I hope will sell more than £500, which it did. And she can sit back in the joy of thinking, wow, I'm able to contribute, I'm able to give. And the painting that I released and gave to them has just equipped a whole police unit to do that. And that feels really kingdom. It feels really giving. It feels like the circles are coming round and so on. So I'm always thinking of ideas for her business as well. And I think I annoy her a bit with, I have 1,000 ideas a day.
And I suppose the critical thing, Paul, is how do you determine between a good idea and a good idea? How do you determine on some of the things that you're experimenting thing with church and what you've done? How you define success around those things? And how do you know? Because a lot of gospel entrepreneurs be listening to this and say, well, it's a good idea, but how do I know God's in it? What do you say to them?
Yeah, Roy, that's a great question. I think, you know, discernment is quite a tricky thing. And somebody once said, you know, you'll know because you'll have a peace about it. And I get that. And I know that Jesus is saying, you know, my peace I give to you. I do want to push back a little bit on that. And there's moments where it's like, oh, you know, this feels a little bit stressful. It feels a little bit risky. Do I have 100% peace about it? Is it easy just to waft into it and go into it? Not always. Sometimes it's been like, I'm not sure. God, if you don't turn up, I'm going to look like an idiot. But I have enough information around me and enough people who know me and can say no to me as well. Tell me when I'm being stupid. I've got enough wise counsel around me to say, yeah, okay, go for it. Go for it. It might not work, but go for it, you know? I also heard as well something similar. That actually it's not always best to ask, and I could be wrong on this, but to ask people like, say, to ask your mother or to ask somebody who really cares about you, I'm thinking of doing this, because their natural default is, and they can't remove themselves from that position, is that they love you so much that they don't want you to get hurt. They don't want you to fail. They don't want you to fall. They don't want you to fall and cut and graze your knees, you know? You're still their kid. So there's moments where it's like, I have to get enough wise counsel around me and enough people who are actually saying, well, you're a big boy, you'll deal with it. If that doesn't work, you know, if God's not in that, you've got it wrong, you'll be all right to actually move forward. Because if you only ask the people who are too close to you and care for you so much, you might not take the risk because they'll want to protect you from that.
That's a great thought. I think that's really helpful. And the other thing is, I think many entrepreneurs don't see the risk. That they almost like risk is the river they flow in. It's like, this is what energizes me. Now, other people would look at that and say, God, that's a massive risk. But to you, it's like, no, this is giving me energy and it energizes me. They don't always see it the same way.
No, that's true. I think it's right. And I think, you know, there are moments where it's like, oh my gosh, this is keeping me up at night. But, you know, I care about it enough to then try it again tomorrow and to keep pushing it, you know. And I think if it's strong enough, that sort of conviction's strong enough in you. I'll just tell you just with this, Roy, because it really does fit. But, you know, when I was 17, so, you know, 10 years ago, now a few years ago, I had this vision of this creative collaboration that just celebrated the good in the world. It celebrated those doing good, you know, people making a difference in the world. A platform that was a physical place that people could come to, but also something online as well. And the word that I had and the word that was kind of thrown around was this word kaleidoscope. And I was like, well, it's a kaleidoscope. Because a kaleidoscope, you lift it to the light and you're just amazed. And I want people to be amazed at what God's doing around the world and those that are making a difference in his name. Like, I just love that. So I had this sort of vision, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and this name for it and so on. And I grappled with it. I pushed a few doors, tried it in London. It didn't quite work. It wasn't the right place. Tried it in New Zealand a bit, wasn't quite the right place and so on. And it grew momentum. We gathered team and so on, but we kind of parked it and left it there because the feeling didn't go, the desire didn't go, but it felt like none of the doors were kind of opening at that time. And then I find myself in Edinburgh and I'm on this spiritual tour. And obviously, Edinburgh is a creative place. It's the place of the fringe, it's a world stage, they call it. And I was on this spiritual tour and this guy who was taking us around all these churches in Scotland was telling us the history of Christianity in Scotland. On his way out of one room, he said, oh, by the way, the man who invented the kaleidoscope is from Edinburgh. And I was like, what? No way. And he said, yeah, he was a principal at St. Andrews University, but he was also a Scottish Church of Scotland minister. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it just so happens that, you know, I'm in the very early stages of seeing some of the sort of shoots of life and doors beginning to open of people that finally get the idea, they get the vision. And they're like, Edinburgh would be an amazing place to start that because, you know, during the fringe, people from all over the world are here and people want to see stuff. They want to showcase things. And why not showcase the good? Why not showcase some of the life-changing, incredible things that are happening? Extraordinary things done by ordinary people.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because the entrepreneur, sometimes it was born in you at 17. You kind of think of Joseph at 17 that had a dream, but it didn't actually happen till he was 30. Sometimes those things, you just need to hold them in your heart and they will come about. You've got to keep revisiting them, not just park them and not look at them. But I think now it's kind of going to be birthed. We launched it at the Gospel Entrepreneurs in Edinburgh. But I think people listening to this, particularly young gospel entrepreneurs, they always think it's got to be next week or, you know, I've got to do it this year. When actually your insight is it may be, but it may not. It's timing is everything. And I think that's also discerning God's will, isn't it? That's kind of it. You've got to see, you know, you don't want to push water uphill all the time. You've got to see something of it starting to flow. Otherwise, you need to forget it and say, no, I don't think that's not to say you don't remove some of the obstacles because you always do and you've got to. And just by coming at an idea, there's a whole stack of things you're going to have that you never had because you've made that choice. But it's knowing where the flow of it and the river is to go in it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's so true. I heard an analogy as well of surfing. In New Zealand, everybody surfed, but they talked about, you spend a lot of time just sitting on the surfboard, and you're kind of waiting, and you're waiting, you're looking around, but you're waiting for the wave that you ride. And often I think we try and splash around in the thing and try and whip up something and do it. And it's like, well, actually, just it's a marathon, often not a sprint. Wait and wait in the Lord, and wait on the Lord, and pray and watch and observe. And you'll know, like, when the wave comes, it's better to ride the waves that he sends,
Yeah.
than to try and splash around and create waves, and so on. But
Hey, that's a great way to land. It's been great to talk with you, Paul. And
you too.
hey, I even had a go at surfing. And the
Did you?
great thing is, when you catch the wave, it's fantastic. But then the thought of plowing out again to do another one is exhausting.
But I bet you got back on the board, Roy,
I
didn't you?
did. Yeah, the
Good.
energy and enthusiasm. And that's part of the entrepreneur. You get back on the board, even if it didn't go so great, because you're like, I got a taste of it. I just tasted something of God's goodness. Anyway, Paul, you've had an amazing ride. You're still in it. It's great that we work together in Scotland. And I'm looking forward to see what happens with the plant, with the creative business, with Kaleidoscope as well. So thank you for joining me, Paul.
Thanks so much. God bless. Take care.
Thanks, Paul, for joining me today. The thing I love about Paul is his creativity and the fact that he just discovered in a space where he was, oh, this is not releasing my creativity. And I think God has put that in all of us. He's certainly off the scale creative, but it was great to hear how he's now using that for the kingdom in what he's expressing in planting a church and songwriting and creative communication. I'll be back with another gospel entrepreneur next week, but in the meantime, you can catch up on all the previous conversations I've had on the UCB Player app or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Gospel Entrepreneurs is a UCB podcast in partnership with Revelation Trust.